Welcome to The Scales of Truth with me, Tyson Harley. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening. I'm Tyson Harley. Couple of things I think I'll talk about today. One, the Raiders move to Las Vegas. Two, the NCAA's position on not having events in North Carolina. So today we found out for sure that the Oakland Raiders are moving to Las Vegas. And if you're like me, you're probably highly irritated by that. For me, the take is that, man, the NFL has a good thing going, but you'd think that they just didn't have any sense of public relations these last, 9 months. They're moving three different franchises, this being the third, and they are moving to Las Vegas, which was previously something that nobody wanted to do because of the gambling aspect. But the interesting thing to me about this is the fact that they're staying in Oakland for at least a year. Are you like me? Are you hoping that nobody goes? I hope nobody goes to those. And in fact, in reality, I think that not many people will go because they're gone. Can you imagine trying to stay at your old stadium after you've, in essence, cheated on your fan base and expect them to actually care for 2 years? I hope this franchise goes in the dumps in those 2 years. I really do. So they moved. So in one way, when you think about it, remember way back in the day, the Colts moved in the darkness night? It's almost better. Now, if you're saying you're divorcing me, fine, go. good riddance. If that's what your final decision definitely is, go. Don't stick around. And when you think about it, it's as though, the analogy would be as though, okay, your wife has told you that she's divorcing you, and she's given you a date of when that's going to happen for whatever reason. In the hypothetical, we know it's happening in 2 years exactly. And she's told you, by the way, that the reason she's divorcing you is that she already knows who she's going to marry and who she's going to move in with as soon as all the proceedings are final. But for whatever reason, we know that to be happening in exactly 2 years. Now, in the meantime, are you going to take your, quote, wife out and spend money on her and have dinner? If you know absolutely for sure that she is gone, gonzers. In the meantime, by the way, because there's nothing that can really keep this from happening. I could be wrong about this, but let's just say for the hypothetical that, well, yes, I plan on seeing him. Yes, you can imagine we're having consensual relations. This divorce is happening. It's just a matter of it finishing. It's going to take 2 years. How much money are you going to spend on your wife? Why should you? How can Oakland fans be passionate Oakland fans knowing that they're gone? Not that it's in the works and maybe, but maybe there's a chance you can keep them. They're gone. How are they going to have even a half full stadium? It's a really awful situation for the NFL. For Oakland to say, yeah, we're going, but yeah, it's going to be a couple of years before we have a stadium. There's also a possibility, I read, that they may share, isn't it, Levi Stadium with the 49ers in the meantime. I don't know, whatever. You're still not going to get anybody to go there. It's going to be an awful NFL atmosphere. So I just find it disgusting. The funny thing is, I'm a Chiefs fan. I don't live very far from Kansas City. And in a way, you've got to figure this instability between the Chargers and the Raiders is going to help the Chiefs, but I feel kind of demoralized, kind of like when the Big 12 got p- pillaged by other conferences, the SEC and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. I feel demoralized in a way. In the NFL can't, you know, the NFL doesn't have to worry about, a franchise doesn't have to worry about reputation leading to recruiting weaknesses, you know, whereas colleges do, and that's why when your conference gets pillaged, it doesn't have the reputation it did, it can really truly hurt. So I know in that regard, it doesn't make any sense. And in fact, for me to be worried about the AFC West, worried about the Kansas City Chiefs, in a sense, I'm not. But I don't know. I mean, do you think there's any way that free agency is potentially affected by this? I suppose that's possible, the instability. Maybe not. Maybe free agents will go, shoot, in 2 years we're going to be in Vegas? Awesome. Or do some of them go, you know what, these 2 years I don't need to be in a place where our fans aren't even supporting us in home games. Why would you be a fan? There's no reason to be a fan. If Kansas City was moving, the Chiefs were moving, and let's say they were moving to, I don't know where they might move. Let's say they're moving to Tulsa. What? Why would I follow them anymore? I wouldn't follow them. I'd find a new favorite. I'd find somebody else to watch. I mean, granted, if they were on, you know, I suppose I'd watch them, but I wouldn't be any kind of a fan of them. Anyway, this NFL is just a mess, and I really think they're taking advantage of their position. You don't think with all that money that you couldn't have thrown in a little bit of money to keep them there? Goodell says he wants, ideally, we want 32 stable franchises. I think you have the money, you could have let that happen. Now, I get it on the one hand, the NFL, you know, obviously is not trying to have to worry about the finances of every single location. And they are trying to get public financing. It's just, it's playing one, just like the Olympics. It's playing one municipality's desire for reputation and glory against another's. Do you want to be that first class city that has a sports franchise? Well, you know what you got to do. Belly up to the bar and lay some money down. Lay some taxpayer money down. That's what's wrong with, if I may get a little bit beyond sports here, it's what's wrong with, quote, free enterprise and, quote, capitalism in the United States in 2017. It isn't anymore, because these municipalities and their busybody Better Business Bureaus and all these various departments that they have to try to bring industry in makes it no longer just plain capitalism. They're giving favorites. They're making taxpayers have to pay for things they may not participate in. So once that happens, though, big business, including sports, knows it and is going to be like, well, you know, if you don't want to, we'll find another. We'll hold your loyalties and your passion as fans. We'll hold it hostage. No, you don't have to. I mean, maybe we'll stay here, but on the other hand, we're shopping around. So it's a mess. I don't like it. All right, on to the next thing, and this is the, I probably have a unique take for you, and this is probably going to be the most controversial topic so far, this now episode 5 of The Scales of Truth with Tyson Harley. And it's maybe a point of view you haven't thought of, especially if you're just a sports fan and not more towards a political end like I am. And that's this idea that North Carolina has to apologize, so much so that the NCAA is not going to hold events. You know that they moved one of the NCAA tournament sites away from North Carolina, and you might recall what it was for. And it was for the idea that North Carolina had some legislation that said that no, physical men need to go in physical men bathrooms. No matter what you, quote, identify with, we don't need to have men going into women's bathrooms. Now, for me, some of you are going to go, well, they shouldn't be so discriminatory. I disagree entirely. absolutely disagree. This is not the NCAA's spot at all. Okay, the NCAA is an association that's practically quasi-governmental, considering that it represents in many ways all the various colleges, most of which are public institutions. One of the spirits of public education, of post-secondary education, is supposed to be the tolerance for vigorous public discourse and differences of opinions. And for me, the NCAA, for them to come into a practically infant controversy, this thing wasn't even a controversy 10 years ago. I don't think it was 5 years ago, this idea that people should be able to identify with a gender that they're not physically. Well, you know, that's fine. It's kind of like homosexuality. Hey, do what you will in the privacy of your own home. But this isn't keeping you from identifying with that. It's simply saying, as to, you know, public accommodations and such, we don't think that it's right that you go into a restroom of the opposite gender. So for me, this is one among many reasonable legislative arguments. Another, for the NCAA to try to bully a state legislature, which is as close as we get, because it doesn't happen on the federal level, of a body of government representing its people. Because our senators and our representatives don't represent us. Are you kidding me? If the NCAA, as something that's supposed to be national, can bully a state legislature into towards an approved outlook on a new controversy, then they're out of bounds. Okay, this isn't saying that you shouldn't be able to identify with the opposite gender, that you shouldn't be able to do it publicly. It's simply setting reasonable restrictions on restroom use. Whether you agree with that or not, and I can argue both sides very well. I have a legal education background. I can argue both sides, and I can think of it now, but I don't want to make this episode particularly long. This is a controversy that's new. For a legislature to come up with some reasonable, if you want to say that's unreasonable, I'll tell you why it's not. Okay, the reason it's not unreasonable is that it's arbitrary. Now, you could just as easily say, no, the pro-woman argument here is that, I'm going to be kind of frank here, my general idea on this podcast is not to curse, but sometimes we'll be at the edge of things. And the pro-feminist movement could be just as easily, you can imagine it. Here it comes. Wait a second. No penises in the ladies' bathroom. Okay? No. The patriarchy doesn't get to make up excuses for penises to come into the ladies' bathroom. This is our safe place. Can we at least agree that even if you identify, unless and until your hormones are different and you don't have this invasiveness that is the penis, rape's a real thing, then you don't get to be here. What are we supposed to do? Start to classify whether somebody's honestly, identifying, or can they just claim to be identifying? Can a heterosexual male who's just a weirdo go into this bathroom because, and then when you try to pull him out, he says, hey, I identify with being a female. Why aren't you dressed as a female? Well, I can't always dress as a female, but I identify with it. So, you know, how does the patriarchy allow this? It reminds me, the analogy would be this, if, and this is why I say this is an arbitrary, approved point of view, and why the NCAA shouldn't be on one side or the other. Remember the lady 4 years ago, whatever, who wasn't actually black, but was portraying herself as black? And once, and being an NAACP representative, and once found out, she was disgraced. Who do you think you are? You're not black because you say you're black. You don't have any idea what we've been through. Who do you think you are? being black is more than just quote identifying. You have not had to go through what we've gone through. You don't know the things that we go through. You can say you do, but you don't. Now, that's the argument. I'm not saying whether I entirely agree with that or not. But she was disgraced. So isn't the analogy that, listen, okay, you've been a part of the privileged class being males your entire life, and now you identify, and now you get to invade our space? You get to invade our space as females? Because you now, quote, identify with being a female, even though you still have a penis? Even in the environment where we have to worry about rape and men and their hormones and being the stronger gender, don't start with me on whether they're not, okay? Yes, some women are very physically able and could kick any man's ass, but on average, on average, could we agree that men present a threat to women because of their average strength being much higher and their average levels of aggressiveness being much higher? So I've just laid out why it could just as easily be that the approved position for the left, for the feminists, would be that no males in the female restroom. And yet the NCAA decides that only one position of many various reasonable positions, because all we're talking about is whether someone can use a restroom, which one they can use. Okay, we're not talking about, and you're not allowed to wear a dress in public. And we're not talking about, and you're not allowed to say that. We're not talking about, and you're not allowed to masquerade as one gender and then, you know, perform certain actions in the privacy of your own home. We're just talking about reasonable accommodations. Okay, what about people who are nudists? They don't get to walk around nude, do they? They identify with wanting to be nude all the time. Do they get to walk around nude? It's just a reasonable public policy that we're talking about. The NCAA should not be in the middle of such controversies. They should not. All right, well, I think probably the most, quote, controversial. I think I laid it out in a way. I'm a nice guy. I really am. What I believe in is freedom of speech, freedom of expression, not suppressing various reasonable points of view and not overstating their unreasonableness. I think that it leads to a country that is more and more intolerant of alternative points of view, and I don't like it. I'll tell you, for me, the restroom thing is similar as far as bullying. No. We've already decided. It's been a year, and only certain approved outlooks are going to be allowed. It's very similar to the recent string of speakers not even being allowed to be on college campuses. Since when is that okay? Since when is it okay just to yell down? That's not the right term. Sometimes I miss my words. Just to scream down potential opponents in public discourse. To act so childish. To have riots on your own campus. To keep somebody from even appearing in a public forum on places that traditionally at least say they're about academic freedom and discussion and discourse. Why is it okay for a bunch of students to get so riled up? You don't have to go, dude. If you don't like it, you don't have to go. But don't try to keep them from coming to campus, you jackasses. That's about as far as I'll curse on here. Probably as far as I, close as I get to cursing. I try to limit to about that on social media as well. Sometimes I do the big word. But for the most part, I try to go against it. It has more effect than on the rare cases where you use it, right? If you don't use it all the time. So, yeah, for me, it's an extension. It's like the little crybabies on campus, and I'll say it, they're crybabies. If you think that someone shouldn't even be allowed to come on campus and speak, then you're a crybaby, and you're not a mature, you don't have a mature intellect. You're an emotional-driven wimp, okay, snowflake, whatever you want to call it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be able to protest outside. Sure, whatever, that's your counter-protest. You shouldn't be able to do it if someone's in a gymnasium and you try to, that's been reserved, such that you disrupt public discourse. But if you're outside and have alternative points of view, I think that's great. I think it's great if you maybe talk them down a little bit. I don't think it's great that you say they shouldn't be allowed on your campus. And by the same token, I believe that when some controversy is in its infancy, such as this, wait a second, 5 years ago, who was talking about the idea of, that some big cause that someone identifies with another gender? I'm not saying whether it's right or not. In my personal opinion, I think it's people who are not happy with their lives, and I know, I've been there. And sometimes you try to find reasons that will supposedly make your life better. And I think in many of these cases, well, in many of the cases, not all of them. I mean, I never want to say that as some small part of something like this, there's not some validity. But in many of these cases, I just wonder for them, if they're going to go through all this, are they really going to be happier at the end? You know, and I do also quickly see the tie-in to, listen, industry never wants you to be happy with yourself. Do you understand this? You always need more. And I see the tie-in to how, isn't it convenient how if you go through a big, long process involving tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars in healthcare that you can't even really afford, but that's okay. We have a healthcare industry where we just simply assume that the average citizen will undertake procedures and prescriptions that they just literally can't afford because the healthcare industry is too important to have to actually limit them to what people can actually afford. It's too important for us to decrease the cost so that they're no longer Alice in Wonderland, other planetary. I know this is a big aside, but it's also true. I see that it's convenient that you're not good enough. You can't even be happy with your own gender. But don't worry. We've got the solution. The solution is surgeries, hormonal replacement, and then you'll be happy eventually. Except, really, is that what's going to finally make you happy? Or is it just going to be another distraction? Okay, we all have to find our ways to happiness. And I'm not there. Who is most of the time? I never mean to be preaching down to anybody. I'm so far from perfect. I'm unemployed right now. As I said in my introduction, it's one of the reasons I kind of, after 6 years of being a very good employee, don't get me wrong, I'm an excellent employee, but I'm not great with the networking of the senior levels wherever I work. I just want to work. My team appreciates me and cherishes me wherever I work, and my immediate manager does, but I have some major weaknesses when it comes to above that. So I'm far from perfect. I'm not telling you that I'm manifested in any way, shape, or form. I'm not. But I can do most anything if given the opportunity. Point is, though, as far as mentally and everything else, I just don't want you to think that I'm speaking from on high of having, you know, I'm some yogi master. Is that even right? See, that could be wrong. I told you I'm not perfect. But yeah, back to it. That quick aside was that, yes, people, the industry very conveniently probably really likes the idea that you don't think you're good enough, not even your gender. Let's see what else we can do. I mean, you thought it was bad enough. Okay, your face isn't good enough. Let's see, your butt's not good enough. Let's see what else. You don't have good abs, so let's see what we can do about that as far as products and everything else. You're not good enough, by the way. If we reminded you you're not good enough, oh, you can be if you buy this. Oh, you can be if you prescribe to this. Oh, you can be if you have this surgery. One could argue it's just a logical extension further out. Then there will be plenty of people. Listen, the free market isn't about making stands. The free market is about offering choices. Okay, they're never going to say, oh yeah, you shouldn't be a man trying to be a woman. Again, not judging one way or the other. I'm just telling you to explain the free market aspect. They're going to say to you, oh yeah, I mean, we can offer that. We can offer that. Oh, you want a wheelchair without having to pay for it? Medicare will pay for it. We can offer that wheelchair. I mean, the free market provides choice. And the more they can argue to you and sales pitch you that you need their choice and it's nothing that you can internally fix yourself, the more they're going to do it. Oh, that's a big aside to say, this is a controversy in its infancy. There are a variety of ways to look at it. And the NCAA has come down as though there's only one way to look at it. And that's wrong. It's simply anti-free speech. That's what it is. Now, I can say, I can understand them maybe having, honestly, I don't even think they should have a statement. I don't think it's their place to bully pulpit in the course of public discussion. I really don't. In the course of public discourse, short of violence, that type of thing, obviously, then, that's a different subject matter. It's not the NCAA's position. It's not right. All right, where else is it going to go with this? Anywhere? I kind of went all over askew, made this more like a regular podcast, even though I initially was only going to talk about two basic topics. You'll see that as I become more comfortable, if I decide to have a longer podcast as opposed to breaking into these little chunks, you will see that it's very interstitial. Topics will overlap to broader social issues. Hope that doesn't offend you. I don't mean to offend anybody. Sometimes I will make strong arguments in kind of the sense of, well, if it offends you, that's too bad. But I don't, that's never my primary purpose. It's a matter of having a bunch of different points of view and to be pointing out things that maybe other people aren't pointing out. Obviously, sometimes it's just a, you know, insightful narrative. It's not always just brand new things you wouldn't think of, a la the Raiders move. A lot of you probably thought the same thing. Maybe I said it in a way that was entertaining or in a way you may not have thought of it. All right, well, I think that's it for episode 5. Hope you have a good one. We'll talk to you later. This is Tyson Harley. This has been The Scales of Truth with Tyson Harley, available on SoundCloud.